Good morning. Is everybody ready for this weekend, and or rather this week, and get the old Thanksgiving? I guess some of you want to get it out of the way, and some of you are looking for it. I look for it. It's one of my favorite. We were in a store yesterday, and they had this give thanks. I tell you what, I love stuff like that. But do we really need reminders to be thankful? Because sometimes we'll just take things for granted, don't we? And you know, I was on Facebook lots of times, and this time of year is Thanksgiving, and people will say, have a great Thanksgiving, but it'll be from other countries. And we have a holiday, which is our national holiday, Thanksgiving. But you know, there's Canada has Thanksgiving, and Japan has Thanksgiving for the rice harvest, and Brazil has a Thanksgiving. A lot of places have Thanksgiving. And you know, I passed that test on the clicker last time, but I didn't get the turning on the switch to speak. So where's Scott? Another certificate? So, but anyway, there's a problem that lots of times I think that we are not thankful enough. We just take things for granted in life, don't we? And I know I do. And like I take my wife for granted many times and the things she does around the house. And, don't frown, you know it's true. And, you know, there's just such the relationship you just take for granted, your partner in life and the things that you do. But we're going to be talking about thankfulness this morning and to be thankful. And I don't think we should need reminders to do that. I think it should be a spontaneous thing in our lives because who we are, and most of all, because of who we are in Christ. It changes everything, the dynamic. And I love Thanksgiving because it's the most pure holiday we probably have. Because it doesn't have any pagan things connected to it. And it's got the biblical principles. What I mean on that is like, and I'm not going to get into it because of children and stuff, but like you know, Christmas, there's things connected to it which are a little bit, you know, it's taking the focus off of Christ. And Easter, do the same thing. But there's nothing like that. There's no creatures or characters or any cartoon or anything that is connected with Thanksgiving. Thanksgiving has got the biblical principles of sharing and being thankful. And I love it. And I look forward to it every year. And so this morning, we have our big principle here. Our purpose is living a life of praise and thanksgiving is God's will for us and will keep us focused on Him. And we do need to be focused on Him and realize that everything is from the Lord. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 16 through 18, where we have our scripture this morning, it says, "Rejoice always, pray constantly," or "pray without ceasing, give thanks in everything, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus." And we should catch our attention when we read a scripture and it says it's God's will. And so knowing that this is God's will, it should perk up our ears. We must catch what's going on. Am I in the mindset of being a person who is thankful for all the things that God provides? Or do I take it for granted? You know, we must not get in a mindset that everything is owed to us, so we become complacent. It seems like we live in a culture where everything is felt that is owed to us. I'm being shorted. I'm this or that. But when we're in Christ, our mindset is totally different. I love that we had the blessing to study in Job this morning and his suffering. And what he does when he's suffering, he loses everything, which is insane. He loses his family. He loses everything he owns. It's just him and his wife. And his wife also went through all these losses along with him. And everything is wiped out of his life. And what does he do? He goes to the Lord in prayer and worship. He talks to God and he worships. And I just struggle sometimes with how when I have a struggle and you have a struggle, we have a struggle, sometimes we just don't let that turn into praise and worship. And it's hard sometimes because it's real and it is suffering. But God will never give us anything beyond what we can handle. Amen to that, right? And so if you do, you will endure through it. I love this song, Count Your Blessings, name them one by one. Because we need to be in that practice. We used to have a little thing on our wall which said that, and you could move the little slider on there and count your blessings. And it was just cool looking and all. But it was a good thing. It was a reminder, because every once in a while, I would say, oh yeah, I'm not being thankful enough. And I think we have to remember to be thankful in life. So this morning, we got three habits, three distinctions, three stamps of a Christian that are clearly in the will of God in Christ. And by the way, this is a real important principle, and we have to catch this, and don't miss this, okay? God's law and commands are for everyone, if they believe it or not. And that's really important for us to understand, because we live in a world that is such a melting pot of all kinds of beliefs and all kinds of things. But our Bible tells us one thing that is clear as can be, is there is only one way to heaven, and that is through our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And every week we... I might lose my certificate because this isn't working. Yeah. We look at this all the time, and we go through this when we're in our studies weekly, and I love the three circles illustration, because God created a perfect world, did he not? I mean, everything was perfect. There was nothing that was wrong in it until man decided to go his own way and go against God and bring sin into the world. And therefore, each one of us are saturated with sin. And even if we don't notice it, we sin every day, don't we? Because we got sins of commission. Those are the things that we do, which we know we shouldn't do it, but we do it anyway, right? But then we have the sins of omission, where we omit those things that we know God wants us to do, and yet we don't do it. And when you start to think of sins of commission and sins of omission, we start to realize, wow, I am a sinner. And praise God, I have a Lord and Savior who died on the cross for my sins and took my sins away so I could be set free from my sin, death, and hell. And stand before God as if I've never sinned. That's mind-boggling. And so God made a perfect world. We are sinners. We're broken in a broken world. But praise God. When we understand the gospel, what Jesus accomplished on the cross for us, we go running to the cross. And sometimes we don't even know why all of a sudden. It's like, I'm stirred up. I never, ever believed and understood the gospel before. But as I said a second ago, God's law and commands are for everyone if they believe them or not. And that's really important for us to understand. Because there's a lot of people who will say, when they see the scriptures and they see it's through Christ, that they think that they can just say, yeah, but I don't want to believe it. You know what? No one gets a pass. The Bible tells us no one gets a pass because it says there's only one way. And Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And no one at all comes to the Father but through me. And that's why the gospel is so glorious. That's why we share the gospel. And that's why we are so thankful, because we are a people who stand before God Almighty forgiven. We can actually come boldly, it says in Hebrews, before the throne of God. Think about that. We can actually come before God. And that's because he loves us and died for us and set us free from our sin. In 1 Thessalonians, we read this. And we exhort you, brothers, warn those who are irresponsible, comfort the discouraged, help the weak, be patient with everyone. See to it that no one repays evil for evil to anyone, but always pursue what is good for the one and for all. Rejoice always, pray constantly, give thanks in everything, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. When we see this, we notice that it is, and we exhort you, brothers and sisters. This part of Scripture is actually written to the believer. Brothers and sisters in Christ. It's interesting. We got so many brothers in life. It's like in the military, I got brothers in arms. And so they'll call me brother. And then I have brothers, if I was in a group, it'd be a brother. And sometimes it's just being human. Hey, brother, just to be brothers. But what is most awesome brother in the world is to be a brother and sister in Christ. Man, when you're one of God's children, you have something to praise God about. The glory of being stamped as one of His. We are His. We are a new creation, by the way. The old is gone, the new has come. Is that glorious? That's because of who we are in Christ. Again, our scriptures say, rejoice always, pray constantly, or without ceasing. Give thanks in everything, and that's in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. So looking up ahead to Thanksgiving Day, there are these three short scriptures are amazing because their Thanksgiving is a state of the Christian mind. You know, we should always be in that mode of Thanksgiving. It's not something that is just one day of the year, but it's every day. Have you ever noticed when you have a Thanksgiving meal, it's one of the meals during the year that usually there's a prayer. Maybe not everybody's home, but I notice in most homes, it's the one time, even if they're not Christians, even if they're not believers, it seems like it's a time to pray and be thankful. We live in a culture, of course, where we could just go to the supermarket and buy whatever we want. We don't have to hunt our turkey. We don't have to hunt our deer if we didn't want to and all of those. Great to have those available to us. But we could just go to the store and get whatever we want. And so we take everything for granted. And that's a sad thing. And this is what our scripture is telling us this morning, that we are not to take our lives for granted, but to be in a mode of rejoicing and praying and thanksgiving to God Almighty. Never to take it for granted. For this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. So, we got to be careful, because in the flesh, when we take God out of the picture, it's so easy. We could just fizz it out. But in the power of God, we endure until the end, no matter what. I've seen brothers and sisters at times, and you probably did too. And we got a race that we live in life. It's a real race. There's a real challenges each and every day. And every one of us have different ones. And I love how that Hebrews chapter 12, verses 1 through 3 explain this. And it won't be up there, so you'll have to break your Bible open for this. But in Hebrews chapter 12, verses 1 through 3, we get this. And it's a great example. Therefore, since we have such a great crowd of witnesses surrounding us, let us lay aside every hindrance or weight and the sin that so easily ensnares us. Let us run with endurance the race that lies before us. And how do we do that? Verse 2 is so clear. It says this: keep your eyes on Jesus, the source, or some translations say the author of our salvation, and the perfecter of our faith, the perfecter, who for the joy that lay before him, he endured the cross, despised the shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him who endured such hostility from sinners against himself, so that you won't grow weary and give up and lose heart. I read this scripture and I'm affectionately drawn to God in the power with praise for what he has done for us. And I ask that question, how well am I enduring the race he has put in my life? And that question goes back to you. Am I going to finish exhausted and do what God calls me to do? Or am I going to even compete or complete the race he has given me? How well are we? How well am I living this life of praise and thanksgiving to God? Are we running it well? The truth is, when we take our eyes and we take them off of Jesus and decide to throw, that's when we decide to throw in the towel. And we want to finish well. And we need to keep our eyes on Jesus. And our problem is sometimes we take our eyes off and we get tripped up and we start to fondle. And then once we get up and realize who we are in Christ, we start putting our eyes in the right direction again. And then we start walking in the right one. We need to consider him and what he allows to happen to himself on our behalf, that we may not grow weary and faint-hearted, for he gave it all. So in our 3 points this morning, the first thing we see is that we are to be joyful. We are to be joyful. It says, rejoice always. And as we saw a little while ago, rejoice and rejoice. And again, I say rejoice. We need to be the people who are joyful. It's good medicine. It's good medicine, as the Bible tells us in Proverbs. In the book of Proverbs, it says, a cheerful heart, in Proverbs 17:22, it says, a cheerful heart is good medicine, but a crushed spirit dries up the bones. We want some good medicine? The best medicine you can have a cheerful heart. You ever meet the, you know, it's funny because like at the house, you can have a gallon of milk and it's half full. And you get two types of people. One is like, well, maybe three, because one will probably say, I don't care. But anyway, you got the two kind of people. You got the one that says, whoa, I got a half a gallon of milk left. We can do whatever, right? And the other one says, oh, man, we only have a half a gallon of milk left. You know, it's like, isn't that the truth, though? People have different views and look at the same thing and have different emotions pulled by what they see. And yet the Bible tells us to have a cheerful heart. We really should be the people who always say, wow, we got a half a gallon of milk. We should be optimistic of anybody in the world, of all people. Those who have been bought by the blood of Christ have something that can never be taken away from them. We can lose everything like Job, but Christ is still our Lord. Our eternity is set in stone. We are his. One of my favorite scriptures is in John chapter 5. In John chapter 5, verse 24. I want us to just look at this scripture real quickly because it's very powerful. It says this, and this is you, believer. This is for you. You want to be cheerful? You want to be a person who's encouraged and know that everything can be wiped away and you are still our Lord's and nothing can be stripped from that. You are his. You cannot lose that salvation if it is real and trusted in Christ and Christ alone. And this is what it reads in John chapter 5, verse 24. And you catch three times it's emphasized our position in Christ. Because we might have not got it on the first one, we might not got it on the second one, but we get it by the third one, hopefully. Catch this. John chapter 5, 24. Truly I tell you, anyone who hears my word and believes him who sent me, catch this, has, past tense, it's ours now already, has eternal life. If you believe in Jesus and you're trusting in him, it doesn't matter what kicks you off whatever pedestal you're sitting on or standing on, you are still going to stand tall in Christ. You are his. You have eternal life in Christ Jesus. But he doesn't stop here. He doesn't stop. He goes here and he says, this next, and will not come into judgment. What does it tell us in Romans 8? Romans 8 or 1 Corinthians 8? Yeah, Romans 8. It says, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ. Two confirmations that we are his eternally in Christ. But no, that's not enough. Look what else. But has passed from death, our death sentence and hell, have passed from death to life eternal with our Lord. To life. That is us. How could we not be thankful? We already know our eternal destiny in Christ. That's glorious. That's fantastic. It's beautiful. There's probably not even a word invented yet how great that is. But when we come into the presence of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and we get to see him face to face, oh man, what a day that will be. What a glorious day that will be. So let me ask you, are you joyful? Are you rejoicing? Do you have something to be excited about? No matter how bad your circumstances right now, that is one thing that could never be stripped from you. Your eternal destiny with Christ. Praise the Lord. And so again, be rejoiceful. And this should not be situational. This is something that is ours in Christ. But yet, you know, we sometimes, in God's sovereignty, there's the world, we run into stuff. And won't that rob our joy? But in Romans 8:28 tells us this. We know that all things whatsoever, work together for the good of those who love God, who are called according to his purpose. And so we know in scriptures, in Romans 8:28, nothing that happens to us is not for our good. That's hard to understand at times. We might not even understand in this situation, but we are his, and everything has got purpose and reason. As a believer, we know that all things work together for good. God is sovereign. God is in absolute control. And we are his. No one can snatch us from his hands. And this is a mark of a Christian, to be joyful. I think of Matthew chapter 5, verses 12. Chapter 5, verses 10 through 12, and it says this. Blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness, and for the kingdom of heaven is theirs. You are blessed when they insult you and persecute you and falsely say evil kinds of things against you because of me. But what does the Bible say now? Be glad and rejoice, because your reward in heaven is great in heaven, but that is how they persecuted the prophets who were before you. It tells us that we are in good company with the prophets in Christ. And that was in Matthew chapter 5, 10 through 12. Jesus adds that the prophets before you were persecuted for the same way. Basically, Jesus says, when persecuted, you have a joy because you are in good company. And rather, you are in great company because the prophets who suffered before you also were. And they are still his today in his presence. I got thinking about how many are dealing with pains in our church and struggles, and how we pray for you guys and pray for ourselves. And, you know, even the simple things. Like, I've had a neck ache all week. I can barely turn my head that way. I used to be able to turn it like this, but now I can only turn it this much. No, I'm like joking. Sorry, couldn't help it. It just happens. But anyway, you know, the thing is, we even the little things that we take for granted, like our necks, being able to turn it to the left and to the right. And what has been hurting me all week, and I had training for 3 days and sitting behind the desk, so I couldn't even loosen it up. But yet, I wasn't hurting all the time. And in those moments, I was able to say, thank you, Lord, for no pain at this moment. Do you get that? You find us. When you're hurting, yeah, it's hurt and it's hard. But man, when you got that relief, you say, praise God, thank you, Lord, for relieving me of that pain. We got to see it when it happens and not take it for granted and just put it at the side. We have to recognize that God is working in our lives and that he's helping us through. Don't let pain rob our joy. And it's easy to say when I'm not the one in that pain that you're dealing with. It's real. It is suffering. It is hard, but in Christ, we can make it. In Christ, he's our strength. And you know what? We need to thank God for every little blessing that comes our way. The one never-ending solid in life of a Christian is the one thing we can always rejoice is our salvation, and nothing can take that away, but our temporary pains can be a struggle that are real, but even in them, there are always moments of praise. So the Bible tells us, rejoice always, always rejoice. Not only do we see to be joyful, though, we see something else. We see we are to pray continually Pray continually. We are to be bring up before God. And I think pains should do that. They should drive us to our knees in prayer. Our worst situations in life should bring us to the Lord in prayer. And hopefully we understand that prayer is talking to God. I think everybody knows that, but I don't want to take it for granted that we don't know. You know, praying is actually talking to God. It's not just talking to the air. It's talking to God Almighty, who's King of Kings, Lord of Lords, sovereign over everything, created the universe and everything is in it, and we are actually talking to him. That is prayer. Talking to God Almighty. Talking to the one who is King of Kings and is on his throne. God knows our thoughts in our mind. He knows what it is, our deep embedded secrets that no one knows. God knows. He is truly the only one who we can talk openly with no masks to hide ourselves and to hide our sins. He is even present, always here, so there is never a time when he is out of town or sleeping. He's always alert and present so that it brings great comfort to a Christian who understands in prayer. When we feel far from God, it is not because he is far from us, but we are far from him. He is present. He is there as we pray. We may avoid the situation instead of going before God Almighty because of sin or whatever separating us at the problem at the time. But we make opportunities to prioritize our favorite relationships, don't we? Don't we make sure we spend the time? I don't know about if anyone's having gatherings at your house for Thanksgiving. Isn't there planning that you're making so hopefully people will come to your house and be able to spend that time with you? Don't we make big events to try to get the family together? Some people have great family gatherings so that they don't break. And we make time. We make it our priorities. But do we do that with God? Do we make God our priority? Do we set time aside every day to spend with him? If your spouse, your girlfriend, your boyfriend, or whatever, and you just never see them, and then, you know, all of a sudden you pop up once a week and maybe on Sunday or whatever, and you just say, "Hey, how's it going?" And you say, "Hey, can you fill me in with your week?" There's something wrong there. But when you really care about somebody, every day you're talking, you're communicating, you're showing your love, and it's accepted, and you're sharing back, and it's going back and forth because it's a real, genuine relationship. How is your genuine relationship with our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ? When was the last time that you said, "I can't do that because I want to spend some time with my God today"? I want to spend time in prayer and saturated with God. Pray continually. So how does praying without ceasing really work in practice? You know, how does praying without ceasing really work practically? How does that work? We keep the prayer line open so we don't lose his signal. It means we're constantly having that signal. You know, don't you have, you got stuff at the house like your refrigerator. If you unplug it, everything's going to spoil. And yet we seem to unplug our life with Christ sometimes. And because of that, our lives get spoiled and they get messed up until we plug it in. You hear that hum and it's back on and like, yes, it's on. I tell you the same thing, or when the electricity goes out, we know what we're talking about. But praise God, that electricity never goes off in the Lord. It's always on. Nothing can unplug it. No one can take that away. That's why prayer without ceasing can happen. That's why we can keep praying. That line is open. The electricity flow is constantly going through, in a sense, so we don't lose the signal ever. It's always there in Christ. Is your relationship with Christ like that? Is that door, is that always going? Is everything always on? Or do you sometimes unplug and say, "Oh, I want a little time away from God"? I hope not. But we shouldn't. We should always be plugged in with God.
I got thinking about distance we as Christians tend to do with our Father in heaven. And the longer in the faith we get, sometimes we could get comfortable. Because, like, you ever notice when somebody's a brand new Christian, everything is Jesus. You know, it's almost like a cage stage. You know, they get all excited and everything is about Christ and all that. It should never fizzle out. I had a deacon once a long time ago, not here, a long time ago, and said, well, you know, as you get older, sometimes it gets, you know, it'll get, you know, your relationship with Christ is just, you know, kind of get a little further away. And well, and I was like shocked because I really respect this guy. But one thing I noticed in my relationship with Christ, I passed the age when he probably told me that. It gets stronger every day. It gets better every day because you stay plugged in and we don't lose the signal because we are his. It's a must that we pray constantly. Ephesians 6:18 says, pray at all times in the Spirit with every prayer and request and stay alert with all perseverance and intercession for all the saints. A clear prayer is ongoing active dependence on God, not only for ourselves, but for others. And I know personally, not taking everything to God in prayer is easy to do, to not take it all to him and just say, I'm going to do this on my own. Not that you're physically thinking, oh, I don't want God in this, but you just do it. And then after you're done, you say, oh man, I didn't even bring that into the Lord in prayer. I hope this outcome is good. And that's a fail. And I do fail a lot of times. I start getting ahead of myself and I have to stop and say, whoa, whoa. I used to have a car. It was an older car. And I would drive to Jeff City from Millersburg at the time. And as I was driving, every day, the first thing I did when I got in that car and I started driving, I would pray to God and I say, Lord, allow me to have a safe trip because deer always, you know, like to run across and stuff. I'd say, Lord, please give me a safe journey to work and allow this car to make it to work and back home with no problems. And I prayed my car to work every day and it was great. Praise the Lord, you know, and it was excellent. And then all of a sudden something happened. I went and bought a brand new car. Ooh, man, it was nice. And it was nice to have that new car. I didn't need God in my drive anymore because now I had a new car. And I noticed that my prayer was not as dynamic. I noticed that I would talk, but I wasn't as concerned. Why wasn't I praying? It's a new car. They could break just as much as an old car. And yet my problem was myself, my heart. It was like, you need God, you pull him out of your pocket. And then when you don't need him, you tuck him safely away. He's close at hand, but he's in my pocket. I'm not going to pull him out unless I need him. You know, sometimes we get like that with prayer. Let's not let that do. Let's not get complacent in prayer, but instead pray constantly. And which brings us to our next point, which is the big one, which we're talking about this week with Thanksgiving. Give thanks. Be thankful. Are you thankful? Are we really supposed to thank God in all situations? When I'm sick and healthy, when I lose a job, I have a car wreck, am I still supposed to be thankful? I mean, those things happen. And we've seen in Job's life this morning that he went through some trials. Are we really supposed to thank God in all things? Are we really supposed to do that? I mean, look at a couple of scriptures with me as we prepare to close. And we already looked at the one in Romans 8:28 where it says, we know that all things work together for the good of those who love God, who are called according to his purpose. And then they get to Acts again. Are we really supposed to thank God in all things? In Acts 16:22-25, we get this historical event when Paul and Silas are beaten up by a mob. They're beaten up by a mob. The mob joined in an attack against them, Paul and Silas. And the chief magistrates stripped off their clothing and ordered them to be beaten with rods. And after they had been inflicted with many blows on them, they threw them in jail. They threw them in jail to keep them securely guarded. And receiving such an order, they were put into the inner prison and secured their feet in stocks. I think most of us probably know what happens after that, don't we? Oh, miraculous scripture right after that. It's one that I just love and think that we always have to apply to our lives and see, like in their situation, about midnight. Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God. Bruises, banged up, maybe bleeding, feeling awful, hurting, throbbing, whatever. Doesn't give us all the details. But one thing we see, the detail was awesome here. Well, we know they were hurting, and we know that they went through all that. They're praying and singing hymns to God. And know what? Why did that event happen? Why did God allow that to happen? Sometimes we don't understand why things like that happen. But the scripture tells us, at the tail end of the scripture, it says this, and the prisoners were listening to them. They knew what happened to them. They knew what they were in the inner part of the jail. And they were singing hymns and rejoicing to God, even in that situation. How can they do that? How could they be singing, doing missionary work? Why weren't they yelling, God, why would you let me do this? We're doing your work. So that those other people can hear their testimony and come to Christ. It's beautiful when you think of it that way, that they're serving God in their hardship, even when it doesn't make sense. But here we see, we find out later in the chapter, God saved the jailer, and many of the prisoners listen and may have come to faith too. God was working through them in their pain and suffering. Everything makes sense to God, even when it looks like nonsense to us. Even when it looks like nonsense to us, everything makes sense to God. We see this point in Scripture in 1 Thessalonians 5, 16 through 18, that this is our state of mind in life. Rejoice always, pray constantly, or without ceasing, give thanks to God. These three all tied together with the big question, why? Why is it so important to rejoice always, pray constantly or without ceasing, and giving thanks in everything? These three all tied together with the big question why, which is this. For this is the will, or God's will, for you in Christ Jesus. And you notice it's in Christ Jesus. All of this comes together when we have relationship with Christ. Rejoicing, being joyful, praying, and being thankful, have a grateful heart, should be our normal mode of operation as a Christian. And if we're not connected to the King of Kings and rejoicing in him and praying continue to him, then maybe there's something that is just array in our lives that we need to get in order. I'm not saying every moment in our lives is perfect, but God, who is perfect, is always there. Let us apply these three truths as we go through this week and as we prepare our hearts for getting together, hopefully with our families or friends. And our purpose, again, is living a life of praise and thanksgiving is God's will for us and will keep us focused on him. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we do love you. We do praise you and thank you for the life you give us. And we ask you, Lord, that we do apply those three things in our lives. Help us, the Lord, to be the ones who rejoice and are joyful because of who we are in you. Help us, Lord, to go to you in prayer with all of our concerns, with our praises and with our saddened times when we're struggling. Help us and guide us, Lord, in those situations. And then, Lord, also help us to be like Paul and Silas and others and Job who could come before you in their great trials and still bring glory to you and thanksgiving to you. We pray, Lord, that our hearts are hearts of worship that bring glory to you because of who we are in Christ. But Lord, there may be someone here today who did not know or does not know you as they entered the door this morning as Lord of Lords and Kings of Kings, and that this is a day of salvation. Maybe you're stirring their hearts this morning with the truth of your word and that their need for Jesus Christ to be their Lord and Savior.
If that be so, Lord, we pray, Lord, that you empower them to know the truth and understand the gospel for in its greatest depth, and that they come forward to show their love towards you and being a Christian and living their life to your glory's sake. We love you, Lord, and we praise you for all you do for us. In Jesus' name, amen.